Isn't music a wonderful gift from God? Amen. And there's no better way to use it than to give back to Him the praise that's due His name. I want you to turn, excuse me while I get my throat cleared here a bit. I want you to turn to somebody right next to you. Or if you want to yell it across to somebody else, I guess you could do that too. But I want you to tell them this. God loves you and so do I. I want you to tell that to somebody around you this morning.
God loves you, so do I.
All right, did you hear that? Bob yelled it across to you, all of you over here on this side. So, aren't you glad? Do you know there are many, many hundreds and millions of people today who do not know and understand that God loves them? Many years ago, and I'm beginning to age myself more and more each day by saying these kind of things, some of you might remember this along with me, there was a big nationwide campaign. It had billboards, it had radio announcements, it had all kinds of things. And it was entitled, I Found Him. And it was just a huge, and there was a little theme song that went along with it. I found him, and you can find him too. You know, it was just a little catchy tune that, and whereas it may have sounded like a wonderful campaign, you know what the only problem with that campaign was? It's not true. It's not biblical. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly that none of us sought him. And that no one understands it, and none that seeketh him. We're altogether gone out of the way. We've all become unprofitable. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so the truth of that campaign was, it wasn't true. It wasn't true. And you know, And I don't have an axe to grind, please understand, I do not have an axe to grind, but this whole philosophy of seekers, and we just kind of gradually let them find what they're seeking for. They're not seeking for Christ. They're not seeking for truth. And unfortunately, the whole seeker movement is based upon a wrong philosophy. But here is the truth this morning. You can know God. Amen. You can know Him intimately. You can know Him personally. You can know Him experientially. If there's an area where I believe perhaps I have failed, and when I say I, perhaps a lot of fundamental Bible Baptist, Bible-believing preachers have failed, is that we have oftentimes concentrated on what you're doing more than what you're knowing. And we need to make sure that before we do anything for God, we know Him. And a truth that, if I'm going to give you my big idea. You know, when I was in seminary and college and taking homiletics classes and hermeneutics classes and all kinds of classes, We were taught, have a big idea. What's your big idea for the day? Well, here's my big idea. I don't want you to miss it. God loves you. That's my big idea today, all right? Let's pray and then go home. No, I'm not. I'm going to show you that from the Bible. But that's my big idea today. God loves you. Amen. And He is the one who initiated this whole thing. And He sought you. And He loves you. And He died for you. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. And then after we turn to this passage, I'm going to have you turn to two other passages. And I want you to put your bulletin in one area and your thumb in the other, because we're going to go back and forth between two passages this morning. But first of all, let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 34. 22:34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This morning, God is pursuing a love relationship with you and with me. And he's the one that takes the initiative to bring you into this kind of a relationship. He created you, and he created you to have this special relationship with himself. The love relationship should be real to you today, not just a theory. And it should be personal to you today, and it should be experiential to you today. Amen. Now, when I was beginning my pursuing of the one I eventually married, I did all kinds of special things. I'm going to let you in on a little, this is little secrets, okay? For those of you young men who aren't married yet, here's some little secrets, okay? I found out, and I don't even know how I found this out, but I must have found out through some discussions, that Sue likes green olives. You know, the olives that you have, not raw olives, but, you know, olives. Not the black olives, but the green olives. And she really likes those. Well, when we were at college, we had mailboxes, but they were really just slots. You know, they didn't have doors on them or anything. You could just, so every so often, I would buy a bottle of green olives and put in her mailbox. Doesn't that sound romantic? Isn't that romantic? Just green olives. Look at what green olives accomplished. You know? And then periodically, I would stick in her box one long-stem red rose. Now that was a little more romantic than a bottle of green olives, right? But and I was pursuing her, and I would ask her to we couldn't. I went to a college where we had all kinds of. Regulations, and there were only certain times we could date and certain times you couldn't date, and you know what they called date. Now this is the definition of a date: stopping conversing with a member of the opposite sex for more than 5 minutes. That was a date. So you know, we couldn't just stop and stand there for 15-20 minutes, so there were certain times you could date, and boy, those times when we could date, I was pursuing and asking. And how many of you know what a bubbler is? Anybody know what a bubbler is? I'm really letting out secrets here. My wife knows what. One of the first times that we were going to meet, she told me she would meet me by the bubbler. I had no idea what a bubbler was. But bubbler is a Wisconsin thing for a water fountain or a drinking fountain. They call it the bubbler. And so I was going to meet her by the drinking fountain. Do you know, I pursued. I don't think she was pursuing back, but eventually I pursued long enough and hard enough and had enough bottles of olives and that I won her over. But you know, the truth is today, that is nothing in comparison to how God pursues you and how God has pursued you. and continues to pursue you. You know, even though God loves us unconditionally and loves us eternally, He never intended for this love relationship to be one-sided. And I don't believe that I have to, although I will give you many scriptures, don't have to prove to you that God loves you. But my encouragement is, how do we love God back today? That's if we're going to have this experiential knowledge of God, we have to respond to His love, and we have to love Him back. And so let's turn to John 14 this morning. And this is one of the places that I'm going to have you mark in your Bibles, because we're going to come back to John 14 several times this morning. And so John 14, and look at verse 21. John 14, 21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Now, let's put this all in perspective. This verse kind of builds. Do you want to know God more today? Do you want to know God better today? I hope you do. And what does the last phrase in this verse say? "I will manifest myself to him." Do you know how God is going to manifest himself more to you? Because you love him more. And he shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If you pursue back, once you have been born again, once you are a child of God, if you pursue back toward God and want to pursue that love relationship with him, guess what he's going to do? He's going to manifest himself to you, which means you're going to get to know him better. Which means you're going to get to love him more even then, because you're going to know him better and you're going to love him more. But we also note in this verse that there is a relationship between love and obedience. Now, I know I have reminded you of this at other times, but I've raised three children, and as we were raising these children, you know, it was always wonderful to see them obeying. But you know, we all can obey for the right reasons or the wrong reasons, can't we? There are, with my children, once in a while, they were obeying because they had to. And then once in a while, they were obeying because they needed to. Maybe something went along with the obedience. Maybe some freedom to do something else. But you know, the most wonderful time came when they obeyed because they wanted to. Not because they had to, or not because they selfishly needed to, but because they wanted to. You know, the same is true of God. We can obey him because we have to. Or we can obey him because we need to, because selfishly we know he's going to do for us if we obey him. That's just selfish. But you know what the best motive is? Love. We obey him because we want to. Amen. Not because we have to or we need to. And so certainly they do go together in John 14, 15. Just above this verse 21 that we just read, it said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." So there's love brings about obedience. And certainly the reward for that obedience is there at the end of verse 21, "I will manifest myself to him." And so a love relationship needs to be demonstrated by our obedience. Go to verse 31 in chapter 14. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. That the world may know that I love the Father. According to that, Jesus said, the Father gives me commandments, and what do I do to show my love? I obey, I do it. And so that, yes, there is a relationship between love and obedience. You know, there was a time many years ago when I had a man come into my office. This was in a different ministry many years ago. And this man was coming to talk to me about the fact that he was going to leave our church. He didn't feel like he was getting what he needed from our church, so he was going to leave and go somewhere else to another church. Well, as I began to talk with him, he was also in the process of leaving his wife. And he was also in the process of trying to get a different home. And he was also in the process of trying to get a different job. You know, the truth was, he didn't like his wife, he didn't like his job, he didn't like his home, he didn't like his church, he didn't like any of it. And you know what the root problem was? He didn't have a right relationship with God. It had nothing to do with the church. It had everything to do with he needed to fall in love with God. He needed to build a relationship with God. So I asked him if he could honestly say that the most important thing in his life was his relationship with God, and that he could say, I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind or my strength. I said, can you honestly say that? And he looked at me and he said, I obey God. And he said, I fear God. And I want to worship God. But the next words were very sad. He said, I can't honestly say that I love God. I can't honestly say that I love God. This morning, what was my big idea? God loves you. But here's my secondary big idea. And you need to love God with all your heart and with all your might and your mind and your soul and your strength. In Deuteronomy 6, we have that command. In Deuteronomy 6, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love him with all your heart and with all your soul, and there it says, and with all your strength. And then, of course, he repeated that in the New Testament. And in Mark 6, he repeats that exact same verse. And again, I know that I didn't ask you to turn here, but would you go over to the book of Deuteronomy for just a moment? Isn't it interesting that Deuteronomy is a review of the law? And in chapter 30, verse 19, we have a reason for the keeping of the law. And it says, I call heaven and earth, verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30, to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. What did he say? Choose. And what did he say? love the Lord, and that thou mayest obey his voice. What came first? Love. That's the motive for obeying. And often we emphasize the obedience but fail to emphasize the motive. You know John 3:16. Let's all quote it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Did you notice the two going together? Love and keeping the commandments? Again, in 1 John 3, it's in your bulletins today. Did you notice our verse from today in the bulletin? It's, hereby perceive we the love of God. Perceive, know the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's our verse in the bulletin today. And in this was manifest the love of God, in that he gave his Son, 1 John 4. Back in the passage that we just read, Deuteronomy, love isn't just a part of our life. God is not just a part of our life. Love and God are our life. God is our life. And certainly the one thing that God wants from us is our full and unreserved love. Go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. So John 14 is one passage. Matthew 6 is the other this morning. Those two main passages. Go to Matthew 6. And you know, today I would remind you that God is a jealous God. And God doesn't allow for any competitors. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you can't love God partially and love mammon partially. God's a jealous God. In Deuteronomy 6, it says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought you into the land of which he sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells which thou, or digged wells, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. And you know what? I was on an opportunity to go to Australia several years ago, and my sons and I joined several other Christians from the United States. I think there were 67 of us on our team from the United States. And then we joined about 200 Australian believers. So there was about 206 that were on this team. And we went to minister in Australia, Sydney, and the surrounding area while the Olympics were on. I went with a man by the name of Dr. David Crandall, and we went over there to minister during the Olympics. Do you know what the biggest challenge of witnessing, especially to Australians? I personally had much more freedom to talk to all kinds of nationalities of people rather than Australians. But you know what the biggest problem with Australians was? Australians were self-made people. Australians had worked hard for everything they got to build a life out of this hostile country. And they didn't need God. At least they didn't think they needed God. They had done it themselves. And so their God was self and their society and their money. They didn't need God. Of course, that's a problem here in the United States too, isn't it? So many people don't believe they need God. But God will not have any competitors. And God takes that initiative to, if necessary, drive all those competitors out of your life. And God is the one who's always pursued. Adam and Eve, who was it that came down and pursued a love relationship with them in the garden? It was God. He wanted to pursue a relationship with Noah. Who came to Noah? God did. And Abraham and Moses and each of the prophets, if they were going to experience God, it was God who initiated that. Amen. It's in the New Testament as well. Who called the disciples to himself? Jesus did. He didn't find them volunteering. He came to Paul on the Damascus Road, and he sought out Paul. And in our unregenerate human state, we don't seek God either. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There's none that seeks after God. We've all gone out of the way. Back to John, and this time I'm going to go to chapter 6 of John. But in John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Did you get that? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, "And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Verse 65, same chapter. "And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given of him of the Father." Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord hath appeared to me of old, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." In Hosea 11, "I drew them with the cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who would take off the yoke." Gently, lovingly, God has called us and sought us. And Paul, first known as Saul, was actually opposing God rather than seeking God. He was fighting against God. Jesus said to the disciples in John 15, "You did not choose me, but I have chosen you to go and ordained you to bring forth fruit. Back in Matthew 16, and we have a wonderful conversation going on, and this conversation is Jesus with his disciples, and it says in chapter 16, verse 13, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. But who did? My Father which is in heaven. And why did God reveal that unto him? Because he had pursued that relationship with him, had initiated it. Peter had responded back in love and obedience, and now the Father was manifesting himself to him. Certainly, we need to recognize and understand the love of God. What Jesus was actually saying to Peter was, you could never have known this, Peter, and confess that I am Christ unless my Father had been working in you and had revealed that unto you. Philippians 2. We know this verse. In fact, we had it just this morning in Sunday school. It says, it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God that worketh in you. Certainly, God loves you today. God has and is pursuing a love relationship with you. And it is a very jealous relationship. But it's not just for time, it's for eternity. This is an eternal relationship. And certainly, he is seeking you as his own. He gives you this invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How have you personally responded to God's pursuit in your life? How have you personally responded to the fact that God loves you? God pursues you. God provided for you. God sent his Son as a sacrificial substitute for you. And he proved and demonstrated that love for you. On a scale of 1 to 10, I asked that man in my office that day if he loved God more than anything. And he said, well, I know God, and I serve God, and I worship God, and I work for God, but I can't say as I really love God. Back to a human illustration that breaks down, because all human illustrations eventually break down. But you know, I'm glad that I went to a particular college where they had rules that wouldn't let me pursue her only at certain times, because you know what I would have done otherwise? Probably neglected everything else so I could pursue her. Why? Because I was falling in love with her. You pursue the one you love. How do you pursue God? By attending his house once a week? Is that how you pursue him? You know, we need to pursue God every day, every hour. We need to pursue God. How's your devotional life? How's your prayer life? How much time do you spend with God apart from here? Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. How are we going to know him that way if we don't pursue him in love? Let's pray. Father, we will pursue many things this week. We will pursue money, so we'll go and work to get that money. We will pursue pleasure, and so we'll go and spend some of that money to have some pleasure. We will pursue friendships. We'll pursue all kinds of things this week. But are we pursuing you so that we can say, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind? Father, all too often we fall short of knowing you because you reveal yourself to those that love you and obey you. And you won't reveal yourself to us if we don't love and obey you as we ought. It's a complete circle of God loving us and us loving God and obeying God, and he reveals himself and loves us and we love him. It's a cycle. Help us to understand your love and help us to return that love to you. May we demonstrate it by the things we spend our time and energy on. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I don't know if there's one here today without Christ as their personal Savior, but let me assure you today that God loves you, and he demonstrated that love when he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, to shed his blood so that you could have a covering for your sin and receive new life and go to be with God in heaven one day. How have you responded to that wonderful manifestation of God's love for you? Have you received him? Or have you rejected him? How have you responded? I urge you today to receive him whom to know aright is life eternal. And how about those of us who already know Christ? Can we say that he is the one I love more than anything else in this world? And how are we demonstrating that? While our heads are bowed and just before we close in prayer, is there anyone who'd say, the Lord has spoken to my heart today and I have recognized and realized that I need to do some more work on my pursuing of God and love, and I need to work on my part of the love relationship with God. I want to pursue him even more as I get to know him better. And if that's your desire today, would you slip up your hand and I'll see it and close in prayer, remembering you today. Amen. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. Is there one who would say, I've never experienced the saving grace of God because I have not yet personally received Christ as my Savior. But I'm concerned about that this morning. And you'd say, Pastor Walder, pray for me. I need to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I want to begin that love relationship back to Him by receiving Him as my Savior. Is there anyone who'd say, that's my need? Pray for me this morning. I need to be saved. Father, we do thank You for the response to Your Spirit and Your Word this morning, and I pray that You will do Your wonderful work in each of our hearts and lives, especially those who indicated that need today and a desire to have a greater love relationship with You. And so I pray that You will lead them as they pursue, that You will reveal Yourself even more to them day by day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.